I know.
Welcome to the Victory in Living broadcast with your hosts, Ray and Pam Jackson. We are coming to you every week to bring words of encouragement and insights into living a victorious Christian life. Psalms 138, 7 through 8 says, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands." Jeremiah 29:11 reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So plan on joining us every Saturday morning for good singing, testimonies, and the Word.
Why worry about tomorrow? Why worry if your steps are slow? If your life has been spent for Jesus, you don't have much farther to go. For the next hand you shake might be the hand of the Savior. The next step you take could be up there on streets of gold. And your next meal could be the marriage supper. And the next touch you feel, he could be blessing your soul. Be strong and keep on going. Don't get angry when things go wrong. Don't give up, for it's almost over. All the signs are pointing toward home. For the next hand you shake might be the hand of the Savior. The next step you take could be up there on streets of gold. And your next meal could be the marriage supper. And the next touch you feel, it could be blessing your soul.
I know that you enjoyed that song this morning. And, you know, exciting times are here. And Ray and I are really excited. And I just wish Ray was here to share with you, because he does such a good job about our first praise and prayer gathering that we're going to have the first Sunday night in June, which would be June the 3rd, at 7017 Baker Boulevard, Suite B in Richland Hills, Texas. And we will be sending out postcards, giving directions on how to get there and more details. So if you would desire to receive that, be sure and listen at the end of the program, and our announcers will tell you how to get in touch with us so that you can be added to our mailing list. And, you know, we really are praising God for the supplying of those 30 chairs, but we need more chairs, so we're still believing God for some more chairs, a pulpit, a piano, and a sound system. And you say, wow, that's a lot to believe for in such a short time. But you know, nothing's too big for our God. Our God is faithful, and he said he would supply all of our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So we are excited, and we're looking forward to getting to meet those of you who are out in radio land listening to these broadcasts. Well, that leads me to what we're going to talk about today. And I'm entitling it, Step Out of the Boat. Well, you know, last week we ended with Joshua 1:8 from the Message paraphrase. And it read, "Don't for a minute let this book of the Revelation be out of mind. Ponder and meditate on it day and night. Make sure you practice everything written in it. Then you'll get where you're going. Then you'll succeed." You know, I love that last phrase. Then you'll get where you're going, and then you'll succeed. this week I want to go over to the book of Matthew and look at Peter. So let's go to Matthew 14 and let's start in verse 22. As soon as the meal was finished, he insisted that the disciples get in the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the people. When the crowd dispersed, he climbed the mountain so he could be by himself and pray. He stayed there alone late into the night. Meanwhile, the boat was far out to sea when the wind came up against them and they were battered by the waves. At about 4 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. They were scared out of their wits. "A ghost," they said, crying out in terror. But Jesus was quick to comfort them. "Courage, it's me. Don't be afraid." Peter, suddenly bold, said, "Master, if it's really you, call me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come ahead." Jumping out of the boat, Peter walked on the water to Jesus. But when he looked down at the waves churning beneath his feet, he lost his nerve and started to sink. He cried, "Master, save me." Jesus didn't hesitate. He reached down and grabbed his hand. Then he said, "Faint heart, what got into you?" The two of them climbed into the boat and the wind died down. The disciples in the boat, having watched the whole thing, worshiped Jesus, saying, "This is it. You are God's son for sure." Now, let's go back and let's look at some things in this passage. We find in verse 22 that he had finished ministering to a large group of people. But he insisted that his disciples get in the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed these people. And then in verse 23, after the people had gone, he climbed the mountain and prayed late into the night. In verse 24, we find that while he was praying, that the disciples' boat was far out on the sea, and a storm came up and it began to batter their boat. In verse 25, now think about this. You know, at 4 o'clock in the morning, it's dusky dark. It's not light and it's not dark, but it's kind of dusky dark. So it's about 4 o'clock in the morning, and Jesus came toward them walking on the water. What would your reaction have been? Well, their reaction was that they thought they saw a ghost, and they cried out in terror. Well, you know, Jesus was quick to comfort them, because this is what he said. He said, "Courage, it's me. Don't be afraid." And in the Amplified, it reads, "But instantly he spoke to them, saying, 'Take courage, I am. Stop being afraid.'" And if you would follow the references, you would find your way back to Exodus 3 and 14, where God gave Moses these instructions. And God said to Moses, "I am who I am, and what I am, I will be what I will be." And he said, "You shall say this to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" Do you remember how he instructed Joshua to always be strong and courageous and to do what the word instructed him to do? But that's another lesson. Let's go on here. In verse 28, we find that Peter is suddenly feeling really bold. And he said, "Master, if it's really you, call me to come to you on the water." And so we see in verse 29 that Jesus' response was, "Come ahead." And as we read the rest of that verse, we see that Peter followed through with his request and Jesus' response. He jumped out of the boat and he began to walk on the water to Jesus. But in verse 30, we find what so many of us do. Instead of keeping our eyes on Jesus, we look down. Peter looked down. And what happened when he looked down? Well, when he looked down, he seen the waves churning beneath his feet. And he lost his nerve and started to sink. And he cried, "Master, save me." You know, Jesus is a faithful Jesus, because Jesus didn't hesitate. He reached down and he grabbed his hand, as it tells us in verse 31. But then he said to Peter, "Faint heart, what got into you?" Now notice, Jesus didn't just grab his hand and pull him back up, but he made sure he made it to the boat. And the two of them climbed into the boat. And now notice, and the wind died down. And then the disciples in the boat are like so many others. When they see a miracle and they see something great happen, then they begin to praise and thank God. You know, these disciples had walked with Jesus for almost 3 years here. And then all of a sudden, because they seen him walking on the water, they seen him rescue Peter from the stormy sea. They see him get in the boat with Peter and the storm die down. Well, then they say, "That's it. You are God's son for sure." And they begin to praise and worship him. You know, God wants us to praise and worship him irregardless. He's God. As Raymond sings, he's God on the mountain and he's God in the valley. He is God. You know, we used to sing, God is God and God will never change. And there's all kinds of verses. He's God everywhere. There's no changing or variableness in God. But again, that's another lesson. So, you know, we live in a time that we are afraid to make a move. If you was here, I'd expect you to shout amen. Why are we afraid to make a move? Because we're not really sure whether it's a move of faith or presumption. So we decide we just won't do anything. Better safe than sorry, right? Wrong. You ask me, how can you say wrong? Well, because if you exercised your faith by stepping out and then realize later that you missed it, that you're not quite strong enough, well, don't worry about it. God can handle any mistake you can make. And guess what? We've all made mistakes, and we all are going to make mistakes. But God's faithful to forgive. He's faithful to put our foot back where it needs to be when we call out to him, when we get back on course, when we stay in the Word, and we stay in prayer. You know what? If we act on the Word out of the sincerity of our heart and we steadfastly stay in the Word, guess what? Jesus will never let you drown, no matter how many dumb mistakes you make. Even as he proved that night when Peter jumped out of the boat into the middle of the stormy sea. Think about it this way. Peter would never have jumped out of the boat if Jesus hadn't told him to come. But what else could Jesus have done? Jesus couldn't tell Peter, "No, it's not me." Or, "No, stay in the boat or you'll drown." So he didn't say either of those things to Peter, and he won't say them to you either. When you step out to walk by faith, he'll be right there with you. He'll pick you up. If you start to sink when you call on his name. Now, when we looked at verse 27 of Matthew 14, it referenced back to Exodus 3 and 14, where God showed himself to Moses as the I am. He said, "I am who I am, and what I am, and what I will be, I will be." And that's what Moses was to tell the Israelites, that I am had sent him. And, you know, we see God here reminding Moses that he was the I am. Now, the I am God, the I am, that's his name, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the El Shaddai. You know, he is the God of all. He is God Almighty. You know, we can't find enough words to describe who and what God is. But I love what Proverbs 18 and 10 tells us. It says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The consistently righteous man, the upright man, who is in right standing with God, runs into it. and is safe, high above evil and strong. You know, the name of the Lord stands for the Lord Himself. And in this verse, it tells us it's a strong tower. So the Lord is a place of refuge and protection for those who trust in Him. You know, it doesn't matter what you have need of and where you're walking. When you call on the name of the Lord, you're running into that strong tower. See, because it tells us the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And the righteous man runs into it. What are we running into? We're running into the name of the Lord. And we are safe because we are safe, high above evil, and strong. And you know, when we think about the names of God, we think about the term El Shaddai. And that's the one that tells us that God is all sufficient. He's more than enough. And we think about God's covenant name that the Jews use, Yahweh. And if you really look at it, it's just consonants because the Israelites would not even say or write the name of God because it was so holy. We know that He is our Jehovah Jireh. He is the one that provides. And He says, I am will provide. You know, He is our provider. And when all else seems to have failed, call on the name of the Lord. And He will supply all your need. Now this is scripture, according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But the scripture also tells us, seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these other things will be added unto you. Amen? Okay, and then we also know that He is our Jehovah Shalom. He is our God of peace. You know, we live in a world today that if you don't have God's peace, if you don't dwell in His peace, I wouldn't want to be, as the old timers used to say, in your socks for your shoes, or your shoes for your socks, or however they said it, but I wouldn't want to be in your shoes, because when I walk every day that I walk it because I have God's peace. I can walk it in His peace. The storm may rage and the wind may blow, but that peace keeps me steadfast because I'm anchored on that solid rock, and therefore I have that peace. And you know, He is also our Jehovah Rapha, the one who heals. You know, do you need healing? Do you need healing? Call on the name of the Lord. That's part of our redemption, is that healing. It says, by His stripes we were healed. He desires for us to walk healthy and whole. And you know, one of my favorite scriptures is over in 3 John, where He says that I would that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So He just doesn't want you to have everything you need in the material realm, but He wants you to walk in divine prosperity. He wants you to walk in divine health. Why? So that people will recognize and know that you're His child and that you rely upon Him and upon His name. And you know, I just love God, and I love that He is all sufficient in every area of our lives. Okay, now let's look again at Proverbs 18 and 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. And as we sing, the names of Jehovah, I just went over, are some of the attributes of that name. And you know, when we're in trouble or in need, we have the name to run into. And the scripture says that we're safe, we're high above evil, and we're strong. Amen, amen. You know, remember once again what He spoke to Joshua in Joshua 1 and 6. He said, now again, this is the message. It says, strength, courage. You're going to lead this people to inherit the land that I promised to give their ancestors. You drop down to verse 9 and it says, haven't I commanded you? Strength, courage. Don't be timid. Don't get discouraged. God, your God, is with you every step you take. That's a good promise to grab hold of and keep before yourself every day. And of course, in verse 18, it says, anyone who questions what you say and refuse to obey, whether you command him, will be put to death. Strength, courage. We find in one chapter, three times, Joshua was instructed to have strength and to be courageous. You know, if you study Joshua's life, you would find that it didn't just start out in Joshua chapter 1, but it began over 40 years prior when 12 spies were sent to spy out the land of Canaan. And as you read the story, 10 of the spies came back with an evil report, but there were two, Joshua and Caleb, who could come back with a good report. And you know, you can find the account of this story in Numbers 13 and 14. The 10 spies who came back with a report of, we can't do this, saw the blessings of the land as too big to obtain. I'm going to say that again. They saw the blessings of the promised land as too big to obtain. Let's read it. Now, I'm going to start in verse 23 of chapter 13 of Numbers. And again, I'm reading from the Message Bible. When they arrived at the Eshcol Valley, they cut off a branch with a single cluster of grapes. Now, listen. It took two men to carry it, slung on a pole. Man, what a cluster of grapes. They also picked some pomegranates and figs. And so they named the place Eshcol Valley, or the Grape Cluster Valley, because of the huge cluster of grapes they had cut down there. About 40 days of scouting out the land, they returned home. They presented themselves before Moses and Aaron and the whole congregation of the people in Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They reported to the whole congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told the story of their trip. We went to the land to which you sent us, and oh, it does flow with milk and honey. Just look at this fruit. The only thing is that the people who live there are furious. Their cities are huge and well fortified. Worse yet, we saw descendants of the giant Anak. Amalekites are spread out in the Negev, Hittites, Jebusites, and the Amorites hold the hill country, and the Canaanites are established on the Mediterranean Sea along the Jordan. Caleb interrupted, called for silence before Moses, and said, let's go up and take the land now. We can do it. But the others said, we can't attack those people. They're way stronger than we are. They spread scary rumors among the people of Israel. They said, we scouted out the land from one end to the other. It's a land that swallows people whole. Everybody we saw was huge. Why, we even saw the Nephilim giants, the Anak giants. Alongside them, we felt like grasshoppers. And they looked down on us as if we were grasshoppers. Okay, now let's read some in the next chapter. Now notice, Joshua and Caleb wanted to go right then. They wanted to go and take the land of promise, just like God had promised them. But the other 10 spies, oh no, all they could see was they were like grasshoppers. You know, other people see us as we see ourselves, and they saw themselves as grasshoppers, so did the inhabitants of the land. So if we continue, let's start in verse 6 of chapter 14. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, members of the scouting party, ripped their clothes and addressed the assembled people of Israel. The land we walked through and scouted out is a very good land, very good indeed. If God is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land that flows, as they say, with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. And so if you would continue to read the story, the children of Israel would not. They just absolutely would not. And so this is about, and they began to murmur and complain, and they wanted to kill Joshua and Caleb, and they wanted to get rid of Moses and Aaron and all their leadership. And it was about the 10th time that the children of Israel had not heeded God's voice. And so as you read on in the 14th chapter, you would find out that what God decided to do was just let them wander in the wilderness for 40 years until that generation had died, all except Caleb and Joshua. And then we see how God called Joshua to lead the people into their promised land. You know, all of this would preach, but the point I want to make is don't let fear keep you from taking that step of faith. Come on, get out of the boat. Remember the two scriptures we hear at the first of the broadcast, Jeremiah 29 and 11, but I'm going to go back and start in verse, I'm going to read 11, 12, and 13. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Well, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And then we also listen to a verse of Psalms 138, verse 8. I'm going to back up and read verse 7 with verse 8. And it says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. And then in verse 8, it tells us, the Lord will perfect that which concerns you. Your mercy and loving kindness, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the works of your own hand. You know, we live in a day and age where we have to be sensitive to God's leading, but we cannot be afraid and dwell in fear to step out in faith when God opens a door, when God shows us something that He wants us to do. We have to step out in faith and begin to follow those plans and purposes that He has for us. Because He told us, He said, it's a good plan. See, He said, I have a plan for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So I want to remind you, read the word, pray. And then as we are told in Philippians 4:9, practice what you've learned and received and heard and seen, and model your way of living on it, and the God of peace, of untroubled and undisturbed well-being, will be with you. Take courage. Take faith. Be strong. Step out of the boat and follow God. You know, the walk of faith may be challenging, but it's also exciting because we are assured of the victory if we do what we do according to His word and His plan. Well, our time is coming down. And here's our announcer to tell you how to get in touch with us.
I want to encourage you to write us at Victory in Living Ministries at 5221 Shiver Road, Keller, Texas, 76244. Take time and email us at Victory in Living, that's all one word, victoryinliving@aol.com. Visit us at our website, Victory in Living Ministries. Again, that's all one word, victoryinlivingministries.org.
Well, there are some people who say we cannot tell whether we are saved or whether all is well. They say we only can hope and trust that it is so. But I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know.